appreciate that.
All right. Well, let's get into the Word of God today. We're going to the book of Exodus, chapter 33 today. Look at something here with Moses that I hope will be a help to you today. Moses went through some things, and he knew he needed God. Amen? Interesting thing about this situation is he was on the mountaintop, literally, with God. Things were going great with him up there with God. But his people down in the valley, boy, he ended up with a big problem. You say, well, if you're on the mountaintop with God, how can you end up with problems in your life? You know? It happens. So he ended up dealing with that. We could probably look at a lot of verses today. Don't go home and say the preacher didn't feed you today, because I'm going to give you a lot of good verses today, all right? If you don't hear nothing else, you go get some good verses today anyway in the Bible. But, yeah, they were down in the valley acting up and doing wrong, and God told him to go deal with it. Matter of fact, God said, your people that you brought out are acting up. And Moses said, I'm going to remind you of something, Lord. They're yours. You the one called me to do all this. Boy, he had a conversation with God, I'm telling you. And God said, well, I'm about to just scorch them. And boy, he went into some interceding. I tell you, he interceded and he prayed. I'm telling you, he prayed some prayers. And then, Lord, don't be so mad at them. You know how they are. So he heads down the mountain, then he gets all fired up mad whenever he gets there, and he takes them two tablets that God has written with the finger of God, the Ten Commandments, and he throws them down and breaks the Ten Commandments because they were down there breaking the Ten Commandments. He was so mad. He broke them literally, those things. And then he prayed for them, and God said, I'm not going with you. I'm not going no more. You lead your people. No, they're your people, you know, and all that. And I'll read those verses here in a moment. God, if you're not going, I don't want to go. You know, that type thing. But then, after all that, he said, well, God, let's take this. Man, that all that stuff up there on that mountain's been good. Coming down here to deal with these problems, I declare. Well, we've done sang a couple songs about heaven. Amen, today. Aren't you looking forward to it? He said, God, not only do I want you to go with me, I want you to take it a step further. I want to see you even more than I have. And let's look here in chapter 33. Let's go down to verse 18. Let's stand for the reading of the scriptures. I'll go back and read some more later, but let's look at what happened. After God agreed, by the way, to go with them, verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see my face and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Let's pray. God, guide and direct us, help us say right things today in the right way, and pray you would teach us today, speak to our hearts, meet the needs, encourage us, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. He said, God, I want you to go with us. Don't abandon us now. But let's do something even more. Now, he's been on the mountaintop 40 days, 40 nights with God, right? And they got all that going on. He's going to do it again. But he says, God, I want you to reveal yourself even more to me. And God said, I'm going to do that. I'll give you that. He said, I'm going to pass by. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. Now, by the way, it talks about God's hand, God's back, God's face. God here is a spirit. But he speaks in human terminology for us and our understanding. All right, let's get that. But the presence of God was going to pass by him in such a close manner that he would see the glow and the glory of God. And I want to preach to you on that today, a desire for God's glory. That's what he had, was a desire for God's glory. After all he'd been going through, he wanted to know God even more. And when the Lord said, you'll only see my back, I think it's the idea. The idea there is like you're just going to see the afterglow because you can't take the full light of God. God is light, amen? God is light. The Bible says God is light. He's the light of the world. He's the light of heaven. And sinful man could not stand that. He said, you're just going to see the afterglow. You know, later on, whenever he came down on the off the mountain the second time, he had that glow. Remember, his face shone? Whenever he spoke with Aaron and the people, the glow of God was shining on his face. Amen. I tell you, do we have a desire in our heart to get that close to God, that we can see the glory and the glow of God and it reflect in us too? Amen. Well, that's what's going on here in the story. You know, I remember in 1 Chronicles 16, David had a desire to get the Ark of the Covenant back because he wanted the help in the presence of God in their midst. Well, here Moses is really with that same type of a desire. And he wants to have God close by. It's a spiritual desire, a longing to be close with God. And he'd been on that mountain. But you know the story about the golden calf. While he's up there with God, the golden calf situation begins to happen down in the valley. So in chapter 32, let me look at this. Chapter 32, go back to chapter 32, verse 1. I said we'll highlight some verses. 32:1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot or know not what has become of him. Now, by the way, he didn't bring them out of Egypt. God did. But they got their eyes off of God, and they couldn't see Moses because Moses was up there with God, and they were still in the valley, right? So you know the story here. Aaron, verse 2, Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears, and your wives, your sons, your daughters, bring them unto me. They break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received them at their hand. And notice what it says. He fashioned it with a graving tool. After he had made it a molten calf. By the way, that was one of the gods they worshipped in Egypt, one of the false gods and their idols. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of Egypt. And they built an altar. They put it on the altar. The Bible says in verse 6, they rose up early in the morrow, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and to play. And it just got really, really, just became a big party around a golden calf idol. It's crazy. You say, why would they do that? God has delivered them. God did all the plagues, got them out of Egypt, and God's brought them to this point. And now their leader, Moses, is up on Mount Sinai meeting with God and getting instruction and getting direction. And they get antsy, they get bored, and they say, hey, we want to have a worship time, and Aaron is the second man there, and Aaron's the priest. And they say, Aaron, make us a idol that we can worship. We don't know what happened to Moses. He's done gone off and left us or died or something, and we need a God. So he says, give me some earrings and all this gold, and he makes a fire, he melts it down, he builds his calf, and... And then later, when God says, Moses, you got to get down there. Moses and Joshua are Joshua's near there, and they get to talking. Well, it sounds like a battle going on down there. No, it sounds like a party to me. And it was a party. It was a wicked party. The Bible says they were naked, and they were shameful, and they were acting terrible. What were they doing? Acting like the Egyptians is what they were doing. They just reverted back to the old ways. You know, that's kind of like a Christian. You get saved before you know it. You're acting like the old way again, right? And here they are living and doing all this stuff. And Moses gets mad. And Moses comes down there. And Moses has to deal with that as whole situation. And this going down in the valley right there. Well, God, you know, after that, he had to really intercede for them seriously. And let's see. In chapter 33, verse 2, look at this. I'm highlighting stuff, y'all. Y'all just hang with me. Chapter 33, verse 1, God said, depart and go. Verse 2, and I will send an angel before thee, and drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hittite, the Jebusite, unto a land of flowing milk and honey. I will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked, thou stubborn, stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee. God says, take them people and go. This is after he's already prayed. God blot me out. God put their sin on me. God, but Lord, just please forgive them. And he did. God did forgive them. But now God says, you go. Just go ahead. Finish your journey. Go on. But I'm not going with you. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send an angel. Hey, you know what? Some people might think it's good to have an angel, a guardian angel. I tell you what, it's better to have God. Amen? So God said, hey, you go on and I'm going to send an angel. He said, what did God say? If I go, I'm going to scorch them. I'm telling you, I don't need to be around them right now. You ever been like that? I got to dodge that guy because if I get around him, I'm going to say something. You know, well, God's doing that right here. You know, he asked God to repent, the Bible says. I've already skipped over all that. Back in the last chapter, he actually asked God to change his mind. The Bible says the Lord repented. Now, again, that's terminology that you and I can understand. It just said God said, okay. That's pretty powerful praying Moses was doing. Amen. And God said, okay. I'm, by the way, a lot of people died. God gave grace, but God also dealt with the sin, right? We got to learn that too. Amen. We don't condone sin, but we do love sinners, right? And God doesn't let it go. God doesn't overlook it in that sense. So we got to learn that lesson as well. But he told them, I'm going to send you on, but I'm not going. Moses put up a tabernacle, a tent where he met with God. Verse 9, look at chapter 33, verse 9. Let's jump to that. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle that the cloudy pillar descended. This is the Shekinah glory, the presence of God. Stood at the door of the tabernacle. Notice this phrase, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Did you know you can have that kind of relationship with God? God made you for that kind of relationship too. Isn't that amazing? Now again, this is all by faith. He senses the presence of God. God told him later, no man can see my face and live. So you understand, God is there talking with him, but God is spirit. It's not like, it's just to help you and me understand. Because it describes it like that so that you and I can know God is a real person, and God wants to have a real close, intimate, personal relationship and fellowship with his people. Aren't you glad of that? And Moses had that. God is no respecter of persons. Vance Havner used to say God doesn't have favorites, but he does have a few intimates. Think about that. I think Moses was one of those. Abraham, the friend of God. Paul. People that got closer to God than others, perhaps. But that wasn't God's doing. That's we just got to move closer to God. He'll move closer to us. Amen? So he's talking with God. Face to face, he's already told God, now let's read on. Let's look here in verse 12, chapter 33. Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, he's not being disrespectful now, he's just being bold with God. You say, bring up this people, and thou have not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou sayest, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And then the Lord said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So he's talking to God boldly. God, you said you're my friend. God, you made promises. God, I'm holding you to it. Not anything arrogant there. He's already told God, remember your promises. So he boldly is talking to God and said, God, you said I found grace. You said I'm your friend. If that's so, and then God says, my presence shall go. I'll go. You ever beg somebody, come on, man, go with me. And they finally said, okay, I'll go. That's what happened there. All right, but look what Moses said in verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. So Lord, if you're not going, I don't want to go. Lord, if you're not going, we're not going any further. We followed you this far. We're at this point. I know these people are stiff-necked. I know they're stubborn. I know they're sinful and all of that, but they're your people. And if you're not going to go the rest of the way, I don't want to go. Have you ever done that in your life? God, I don't want to go without you. Amen. God, you say, I got this job interview. I got this situation I got to face. I got this thing going on in my life. And God, I don't want to go by myself. Don't say, guardian angels, that's good. That's great. I'm glad they're around. But God, I need you to go with me here. Amen. And oh, Aaron, by the way, you know what Aaron, whenever Moses went down there and said, Aaron, what have you done? He said, Aaron's like, you know these people. He blamed the people. He blamed Moses, and you've been gone quite a while, by the way. You left me down here. He blamed Moses, he blamed the people, and then he blamed the altar. He said, I don't know, we just sort of put some gold in there, and next thing we know, this golden calf popped out. I don't know how it happened. I mean, I'm telling you, that was pretty amazing. So we figured we might ought to worship it, you know. Aaron, he got caught. Aaron's the priest now. Aaron's a good guy. But you know, a lot of people crumble under pressure, and he did. He was just lying through his teeth. So when Moses goes down into the valley, things are not good. So he's already been up on the mountaintop with God, and he says, Lord, you got to go with us. God says, I'll go. I will go with you, all right? And then he says, let's read in verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I stand, I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, and I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. He said, God, if you don't go, if you're not working in our midst, then nobody's going to believe that we're your people. Think about that in your Christian life. If people can't see God in you and God working around you, then they're going to say there is no God, right? He uses that argument. He says, God, if we go by ourselves and you don't go with us and things are not going well, it's going to look bad on you. That's what he's saying. Now, folks, listen, we're going to go through, we're going to have these valleys, we're going to have these problems, we're going to have these times, but there's going to be times also when we need to seek the face of God and say, God, I got to have some help here. I got to have you. And God said, okay, I'm going. I said, I'm going. And then the text that we read. Well, God, let's do something else while we're at it. I want to see you. I want to know more of you, and I want to see more of you. I want you to show me all your beauty, all your glory. I think it was pretty good up on Mount Sinai when he was up there. But he said, I want more. Have you ever gotten your life where you said, God, this is good walking with you, but I we sing sometimes higher ground. I want to go to higher ground with you, God. Y'all been there? That's what he's asking for. He's saying, Lord, I want to go a step further. This valley thing and leading these people, and this is hard. I got to have you to do it. That sin was terrible. He told them it was a great sin. It was a grievous sin. They did ugly things that they should not have been doing. That's kind of like, you know, living in this old world, folks, this is a dark, wicked place, isn't it? This is a troublesome life, is it not? This whole life seems like a valley of sin sometimes, does it not? But aren't you glad you can get with God and go back up on the mountain and spend time with God? Amen. And get the help. He desired the glory of God. So he said, Lord, show the world that you're with us and show me more of you. That was his request right there. You know, Paul said in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul was like that. Paul said, God, I want to know the power of your resurrection. You know, folks, Jesus Christ died on a cross and resurrected from the dead 3 days later. That is the biggest deal the world's ever known. The power that raised him from the dead is the power of God. Paul said, I want that power in my life. I want that power in my church. I want that power around us. I want that resurrection, living, lively, powerful, mighty presence of God. Isn't that what he was asking for? I tell you, folks, we're in a valley of sin. We're in a valley. We got people all around us. We got our own sinful flesh we're dealing with. And sometimes we just got to say, I need a little glimpse of heaven down here on earth right now. Amen? Sometimes you need it. And that's what he was asking for. Let me give you 3 points about this today and kind of all that for introduction. But let me give you 3 things. Number one, Moses' request reverenced God. Number one, it reverenced God. This gave God reverence. You say, well, it sounds like he was kind of arrogant with God. No. He was bold. Doesn't the Bible say, come boldly to the throne of grace? He was never arrogant with God, but he knew that God, he could talk to God. We can learn from the prayers of Moses. Amen. God, you said in your word, that's what he was doing. You promised. God, I'm holding you to it. That's kind of what he was doing. And he was getting God to, he was praying for God to come around. Now, God doesn't repent of sin. He's not a man who doesn't repent of sin. But God can change course of action according to your prayers. Y'all get that? Hey, your nation, you know what? Your nation needs your prayers because it's been on a bad course. We need to get it on the right course. You know, sometimes God can take his hand off and say, y'all just do what you want to do and reap the consequences. Or the people of God can pray and God will step in and intervene and help, right? And that's really some of the type of stuff that was going on here. And God was reverenced. Now, he worshiped God. He fell down and worshiped God. He got up back up on that mountain. He fell before God and he prayed and he prayed for the people. He prayed for atonement. He prayed about their sins. He worshiped God. Israel and Aaron down there in that valley, they were worshiping an idol. That did not reverence God. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the name of God today that God doesn't get reverenced by. There's a lot of worship going on, a lot of churches going on that really does not reverence God. Y'all agree with that? You know, you want to have the kind of worship that honors God. Amen. And Moses certainly had that kind of worship. So he asked God, God, I want to see all your glory. It's kind of like you saying to somebody, show me your trophy case. Show me all your plaques. Show me all your certificates. Show me all your achievements. Tell me about all that you've done in your life and all these wonderful things. Let me see all of that. Well, with God, it's obviously way above that and it's different. Amen. But he said, God, I just want to see all of you. I want to know your glory. I want to know your beauty. I want to know your presence. I need you, God, to be here. And God agreed with a detailed plan. He said, well, this is pretty serious. You're going to have to get in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to have to kind of protect you because when I come by, it's going to be powerful, more than any man can handle. Wow, you think about that. You know, D.L. Moody, by the way, was one of those men that evangelist years ago. He said he was praying. Well, actually, he was doing ministry. Preaching all the time and everything. He had two elderly ladies sitting right up front. And they would always say, you got the power yet? You got the fullness of the Holy Spirit? You got the power yet? And he's like, I think so. He said, we pray. They kept saying, we're praying for you. We're praying. You know, he said he was walking down the street one day. And he said the presence and the power of God came over him like he had never experienced it before. He said he ran down the street. He went to a friend's house. He said, you got a room? I need a room right now. He said, come on in the house. He went and got in the room. He said he prayed and asked God to stay his hand. He said, you're about to kill me, God. He said the power of God rested on him that day like he had never known before. And by the way, he said after that, he said, I preached the same sermons and they were different. He said, I preached the same stuff, did the same stuff I was doing, but there were results like you'd never believed. And he shook 2 continents for God, they say. Why? Because God rested on that man. But he said, he about killed him. I'm thinking about that. Folks, it feels good when you get saved. It feels good to have the presence of God in your life. I'm not trying to get sensational with you here or nothing like that. But what I'm saying is God said, my presence is so powerful you couldn't stand it, is what he told Moses. Okay? I'm going to protect you. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to stand you on the rock. I'm going to hide you. By the way, you know what, folks? You and I are standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. The hand of God is upon us. Amen. And it protects us and it helps us and it keeps us. Amen. Insulated in this old sinful, wicked world. The power of God is something like, there's no, you know, we can talk about atomic power, we can talk about nuclear power, we can talk, hey, the electricity's a big deal. God's power, that's a big deal, amen? Nothing bigger than the power of God resting on a man. So he said, hey, this is serious. Nothing to be indifferent about. I heard a preacher talk about before about, you know, kids coming to the altar, popping their chewing gum. He said he always would just, y'all going back. Y'all don't know the seriousness of what you're doing here. He could just sense there was a playfulness about it. Y'all with me on that? You're serious to get before God, amen? And to do business with God. So God said, hey, I'm going to have to protect you here, but I'm going to put you on the rock. Don't you like songs like Rock of Ages cleft for me and Standing on the Solid Rock? That's a picture of us being hid with God in Christ, amen? And he helps us and insulates us in this old world. God was saying, Moses, if you really want to see me, you got to get out of the way. You got to get over there in the side. You got to get hid up in those rocks, get in the cleft of the rock, get some protection. The truth of the matter is, folks, if we want to see God do something, we got to get ourselves out of the way, right? You've heard the phrases before, Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lord, I want people to see you, not me, right? If it's all about us, then we're on the wrong track. Amen? So he said, Moses, this ain't about you, but this is about me revealing myself to you. He reverenced God by asking the question. Look, folks, if you say, God, I want to know more of you. I want to be closer to you. I want to worship you. I'm going to commit myself to be in church more, and I'm going to pray more, and I'm going to read my Bible more because I want to have more of you. You know what? You reverence God. You're reverencing God, and that pleases God, right? And you're saying, God, I'm living in the valley of sin down here. It's all around me and trouble and trial and problem. Lord, I need you. That reverences God. That gives reverence to God that you would actually do that. You know, somebody comes to you and says, man, I like you. I want you to be around me more. They just really reverenced you, showed you great appreciation, didn't they? Admiration. But we're talking about God here. So we need to get out of the way and make it about Jesus. Amen? Say, Lord, hide me in the cleft of the rock down here in this old wicked world. Insulate me, Lord. Keep me in your hand. Amen? His request to see the glory of God, it reverenced God. Number two, it revealed God. God said, I'm going to pass by and I'm going to show you all of myself, is what he described there, is what God was talking about, that he was going to come by and he was going to show him all of these things in his life, that he was going to reveal himself to God. He said, I'm going to show you my glory and my grace and my mercy and my the attributes of God. It revealed God in a special way. All right, look at verse 5 of chapter 34. Verse 5 of chapter 34. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. God came by and began to declare things about himself. Now, remember, folks, you and I have the Bible. We can learn all the attributes of God. We can learn all the power of God. We can learn that God is grace, but we can learn that God is holy and God is justice, right? We can get the right pictures of God. So it revealed who God is. It revealed what God is like. Now again, whenever he said, again, he told him, you're going to see my back parts. It's going to be a guarded glimpse is what it was going to be. You're going to see the afterglow of God. You could only see a certain portion of God. So what it was, it was a limited glory, a limited revealing. He revealed God, it revealed God, it was a limited revealing. You know, Paul talked about how we see through a glass darkly right now. Paul talked about that. What he meant was, he says, it's kind of like looking out a window and it's dirty and it's smeared and you're going to have to wipe it away to see through there. He said, that's how our understanding is right now. But when we get to heaven, we'll see all things clear. We'll see God face to face, right? But right now, it's by faith. Right now, it's looking through the lenses of sin, okay? So here he is getting a limited view of God. We're only going to get a limited view of God. By faith, it's limited until we get to heaven. Matter of fact, that's what happened back in 32 when they said, hey, as for this Moses, we don't know what happened to him. Make us an idol that we can worship. You know what it was? They wanted to walk by sight and not by faith. We hadn't seen Moses in days. I want to see a God like we saw in Egypt. Folks, you know what you and I do today? We walk by faith, not by sight. Right? So right now, it's a limited view that we have of God. We know that God is gracious. We've experienced that. We know that God is merciful. We know that God is holy. We know that God is just. We know that God will forgive sin, but God will not cover sin that has not been repented of or has not, somebody hasn't asked forgiveness. God cannot give forgiveness until we ask forgiveness. God cannot give salvation, although He provided it, until we ask for salvation, right? But even then, our view of God is through our own sinful eyes right now, is limited. I'm looking forward to getting to heaven. You say, I want to know God. We're going to know God in heaven. Amen. We're going to see God. We're going to see the throne of God. There'll be no sin to inhibit us like it does down here. Right now, we've got a limited view of God, if you will. But folks, one day, we're going to learn all these attributes He's talking about. His power, His grace, His mercy, His long-suffering, His goodness, His truthfulness, His forgiveness, His holiness, His justice, the fact that He can love us and help us. And He said, God, I want to know all of this about You. Now again, let me say, we're in the valley, folks. We're in the valley of sin right now. We have to come down and deal with the errands, and we have to come down and deal with the sinful people all around, even church. By the way, it's the church people. I will tell you something. There's some churches I don't feel comfortable in. Because I don't think they're honoring the Lord, doing the right things, or singing the right songs, or using the right Bibles, and all this kind of stuff. But I tell you, we're just living down here. I'm glad we get to heaven one day, and everybody's going to get this stuff right. Amen? They'll all be Liberty Baptist, Independent Baptist folks up in heaven. Y'all with me? Amen? All right, I know we're not the only ones that do things right. Don't get me wrong. But there is a lesson there that they were worshiping God the wrong way. A lot of folks are worshiping the wrong way. But the Bible, Moses got a view of God that Aaron didn't have. Moses got a glimpse of God that nobody else was getting. And it told him, God is great, God is good, God is mighty, God is powerful, God is love. And God can help me. Amen. You know, David told Goliath before he killed him, he said that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He said, I'm coming down here to you, you big giant with your big sword and your big spear and your big army. I'm coming down here as a little teenage boy with my slingshot, and I'm about to kill you. Now, usually those little situations don't go right, don't go too good, you know. Be careful about who you run your mouth to, right? You know, you think you can do all that. David was no match for Goliath. But he said, I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord. The Lord's going to do this, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And boy, he shot that slingshot, and the battle was over. Amen? He didn't even have a sword. He went over there and borrowed his sword, and Goliath's on the ground. David runs over there and said, I need to use your sword to cut your head off with. All right? So, and that's what he did. And he killed him right there. He won that battle. We're still telling the story, and it still says what? It still says there's a God who's all-powerful. We're not, but He is. David said, I need you, God, and I want everybody to see You're at work in the midst. Moses said, I need you, God, and I want everybody to know. You know, by the way, you know why we go into all the world and preach the gospel? Because everybody needs to know about the goodness and the grace and the love and the mercy and the help that they can have from God. Amen? The relationship and the fellowship that they can have with God. So this right here, it reverenced God, but it also revealed God to everybody around. To Moses and to others. Let's get to point three. Moses' request radiated God. Now, I already read the verses to you, or I told you about them. In chapter 34, verse 28, Moses is up there, gets a new set of Ten Commandments. Verse 29. It came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the Mount, that Moses wist or knew not that the skin of his face shone as he talked with God. Verse 30, and when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. He said, God, I want to see your glory. God said, all you can get is the back glow here, all right? The afterglow. But it rubbed off on him. And he comes down. He didn't even realize. Boy, he had a smile like he had never had before. He had the glow of God all over him. Why? He had been in the presence of God. I tell you what, folks. When you spend time out there in that old wicked, sinful world, hearing all that nonsense and all that filth, and you get stained by it and you get involved in it, you don't feel too holy, you don't feel too saintly. But after you come out the prayer closet, now that can be a different story, amen, right? After you've been in the Word of God and you've been in the prayer closet, you've been in the presence of God, and you get God rubbing off on you instead of the world rubbing off on you, it's a different ball game then. And you know what? If you hang around this world, you know what people's going to see on your face? The world. You hanging around God, you know what people are going to see on your face? God. Amen. That's what happened right there. I'd like to spend, that's why we need to read our Bible, pray, go to church, spend time walking in the presence of God, and everybody will see that something different about you. Everybody will know you've been around God. I don't hear you talking like other people talk. I don't see you lying out there on the job. I don't see you running around like everybody else at work. I don't see you doing all this kind of stuff. And you treat people right and you act right and you go to church. You're revealing God to them, right? It radiates or reflects God to a sinful world all around. You know, the darker this world gets, the brighter the Christian ought to shine. The more you've been in the presence of God, then you go out there in this old wicked world or getting down in that valley of sin, people are going to see something different about this guy. Something's different about that lady. I was at my parents' house the other day, and this physical therapist come in. There was a nurse already there, so she came over. I was at the table. I had my laptop. I was working on some of this right here probably. And this lady comes and sits down, and she says, "You're a pastor, right?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Yeah, your parents told me all about you." And she said, "I've been here before." And she said, they've shared their faith journey with me, is what she said. They witnessed everybody. That's what she was telling me. I know that's true. There's a guy that lives next door. My dad told him when he first moved in, "I'm a Christian." That guy said, "I'm a pagan." Well, I know one thing. We know he's a pagan, but they know they're a Christian. Amen, right? I'm just saying, people know there's a difference with people that walk with God. Everybody's not going to appreciate your glow of God. Everybody's not going to appreciate your testimony of God. But they're going to know it, and they're going to see it. And they need it as a witness. Amen? God's with you. Now, folks, let me say this. Let me move on here. When you're down and you're discouraged, I started in the outset. On the mountaintop with God, going good. Down in the valley, His people, not doing good. Sin. Valley, trouble, trial. You know what, folks? You might walk with God, but that doesn't mean you're not going to have a trouble or a trial or face temptation or trouble in your life, right? We're not in heaven yet. When you're down and you're discouraged and you're confused and you don't know which way to go and you don't know why things are like they are, that's when you do this. God, I need to see more of you. I need your direction. I need your guidance. I need your power. I need your help. Isn't that what Moses was doing? And folks, that's where we get sometimes. We say, "Lord, I need to see your glory." That is, I need to see your greatness. I need to know that God can do, choir opened up with it this morning, God can do things like nobody else, right? And we need to be reminded of that. We get down and we say, "God, you forgot about us, you forgot about me, you abandoned me, seems like, Lord, and this and that." Boy, we go through these things, right? Y'all with me? And we go through these things, and sometimes we just need to seek the face of God. And we need to be reminded of His love. We need to be reminded of His ability and His power and His help and His wisdom and His comfort. So Moses at this point really needed a special touch and a special vision from God at that point in his life. You say, but he was on the mountain with God. Yeah, but he had problems in the valley at the same time. We can be on the mountain with God, but we're going to have problems in the valley at the same time. And that's when we say, God, you got to go with me. And God says, okay, I'll go with you. And Moses said, God, let's take it a step further. I got to know you better. I got to know you more. I got to sense more of your presence with me. I got to experience it more, right? Aren't y'all glad it's not just getting saved, it's growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is taking your relationship, your fellowship with God to higher ground. Amen. Aren't you glad? You say, yeah, well, we'll get that when we get to heaven. The Bible teaches we can get more of it down here on this earth. Amen. And there's just times when we got to have it. And we say, God, I need you right now. Moses said, I need to see your glory. I need more of you right now. Lord, if I'm going to go, I'm going to have more of these people, this stiff-necked crowd you're talking about. I'm going to have more of these people. I'm going to have more of these problems in this world. You got to go with me. I got to see more of you. How about you? Have you prayed this prayer? Have you asked God for that in your life? Do you need it? Do you need more wisdom? Do you need more direction? Do you need a word from the Lord right now? Do you need direction from God right now in your life? Do you need power to overcome some temptation in your life? Or to help you with some problem or issue in your life right now? We always do. Amen? But we need to have a desire that says, God, you got to do more. And pray like Moses prayed and say, God, I need to see you do something. Amen? I hope God has stirred that hunger in our heart and remind us that we need Him that much. Would you bow your heads with me here this morning, please?